The CIA spent decades experimenting on human minds using LSD, hypnosis, and even trauma to control behavior, create assassins and serial killers, and ultimately manipulate society. So we're going to deep dive into this conspiracy over the next four episodes. In part one of our MKUltra deep dive, we'll uncover the origins of this top secret program, the destruction of its files, the shadowy subprojects, and even the high-profile figures involved. From Dr. Frank Olson's suspicious death to the eerie connections with pop culture and Project Monarch, you'll see just how far the intelligence agencies want to bend reality. Buckle up, this is the dark underbelly of mind control. Today we're finally starting the MKUltra deep dive that I've been talking about for so long. This series is going to be four episodes, possible future episodes down the line. You know, sometimes I like to do that. In part one, we're going to explain what MKUltra was, some pop culture examples of movies and celebrities that are affiliated with mind control, and a very brief, quick look at David McGowan's Program to Kill book about mind control killers. In part two, we're going to cover a hard-to-find book called Secrets and Lies by Gordon Thomas that details MKUltra mostly through the view of CIA agent William Buckley. And this book features a section on the black magic efforts in a sub-program called Operation Often. It also covers many of the players in MKUltra, from Dr. Jolly West, Dr. William Sargent, Dr. Ewan Cameron, Frank Olson, Alan Dulles, and we're going to talk about techniques such as psychic driving and the CIA assassination manual. In part three, we're going to cover the authoritative source on the man running MKUltra, Dr. Sidney Gottlieb. He's a freak. We're going to cover the Nazi origins of MKUltra, Operation Paperclip, and the origin of the terms, where they come from, what they mean. Lots of misinformation about all of this on the internet. We'll talk about George Hunter White and the Operation Midnight Climax and all the freaky freaks down in the CIA. In part four, our wrap-up show, we're going to cover Kathy O'Brien's controversial claims made in Transformation of America, where we get into the theory about sex slaves and Project Monarch. We're also going to briefly look at Tom O'Neill's Chaos book about Charles Manson being a subject in these experiments. Now, quick caveat, there are several more sources we could have lumped into this deep dive. I had to draw the line at a certain point. I mean, this is months of research and compiling information, and I want to move on to other subjects, to be honest. Like the Saturn deep dive, like that one's actually more fascinating to me, so I'm excited to get into that. Because MKUltra is a massive topic, and when we try to incorporate the official narrative mixed with the conspiracy theories, things get a little, you know, a little odd. But we're going to do a bit of both levels of analysis. I will give voice to the conspiracy mind. I will give voice to the official narrative mind in this four-part series. And, you know, I blame the CIA. They tried to cover all this up, and we're left to speculate on a lot of this. And you know how us conspiracy theorists do? We be speculating, acting all suspicious. We be getting wild with it. So we're going to keep tapping into various ideas that we talk about on my show many times about the occult, satanic groups here and there, alleged abusing of people through mind control, traumatic rituals, creation of alter egos, all right? So first, let us, I got so many books, I'm debating if I should run over and grab them off my little bookshelf here. I got a little bookshelf, and I'm going to grab them real quick. Okay, this is strictly for the video people, which, by the way, I don't know if you heard, I'm starting my third YouTube channel. I started it already. So be sure to like and subscribe. If you're on the audio feed, God bless you. Check out the YouTube as well. Ad Occult Symbolism is the new channel. How long will it be around? I don't know. YouTube is apparently letting me talk about things, so we'll see. I don't know. I'm skeptical. I bet I get a good 2 years out of this and then I'm gone again. But you can always get the tier two video version of the show on my patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher or VIP section. Tier two gets the video version of the show, ad free, early access, bonus content, all the works. Okay. But no matter what, if you're a supporter or a free feed loser, get on that YouTube. It's all free feed. All free feed losers on on the YouTube. And if you don't get that joke, it's a joke. I'm just kidding. You're obviously not a loser. I like that you listen to my show. The first book we're going to cover is Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. This was the, I think, you know, memory serves me poorly. I want to say this was the second book I wrote. Yeah, September 2014, might be the third book. And then I revised it in January of 2016 after I went on Sirius XM to talk about the book. I added a whole bunch of stuff to it. And boy, was that book prophetic. Over 10 years old and very prophetic. The other book we're talking about today's episode is David McGowan's Program to Kill. You can see how much research I do for you guys. Look at all the little tabs and, oh my goodness, and notes. All the great things. And then next episode, part two, we're going to talk about Secrets and Lies, this book by Gordon Thomas. Hard to find, but I found it, and I got it. So, let us get into my first source, myself, okay? Who sources themselves? Me. If you have a problem with that, I don't know what to tell you, because I put all the links in the back of this book of the references, okay? Because in the book, I went through the ideas of MKUltra, and, you know, it was pretty good.
If I don't
mind saying so myself. So there's a whole chapter, and I'm going to read you from it. I'm going to add some clarification here and there. It touches lightly on the themes of occult satanic elements, which will then weave into David McGowan's book on mind control serial killers, okay? All right. So what is MKUltra? Well, I'm going to read you from my book right here. Let's go. On August 3rd, 1977, the U.S. Senate published a report on Project MKUltra, and it was called Project MKUltra, the CIA's Program of Research in Behavioral Modification. And the aim of the report was to review the CIA program that had come to light, which we'll talk about how that happened. I don't even remember. Part three, maybe? Yeah, part three. And the CIA's programs had all these abuses. So they were trying to say, hey, we don't want to do this again. Let's get a full report on it, right? So MKUltra turned out to be a secret CIA program. Started in 1953. Supposedly terminated in 1963. But what it was doing was it was rebranding, which is something you'll see in all the greatest propaganda, is changing names. A little whack-a-mole, if you will. So it was called MK Search then until 1972. MK Search and MK Ultra both had multiple sub-programs within it, one of which was MK Often or Operation Often about the occult. We'll talk about that in part two. MK Chickwit, so on. But yeah, MK Often was one of the things that got me interested in doing this deep dive. But as you know, most of the documentation got destroyed in 1973 on all of these programs, right? And it's speculated that then CIA Director Richard Helms had ordered the destruction of all the files in response to the Watergate. Because he was like, oh man, they're going to come after us. And he had said multiple times about how if they ever knew about this program, they were going to be done forever, right? So the program had run unnoticed by upper brass because the operatives have found clever ways to fund all these projects, right? This is very much your deep state of CIA functions. They would find private donors, which sounds very familiar to things I've heard recently. And they would use sub-projects to fund other sub-projects. A lot of sort of, three-card money stuff. The proper chain of command for approval was also overlooked. And eventually in 1963, the program would somewhat come to light and get shut down. However, the full investigation wouldn't happen for another decade, with a full Senate investigation happening in 1977. So it was in 1973 that the documents were destroyed due to a regulation cited as CSI 4010 that defines the destruction as a form of retirement in order for there to be conscious judgment in the application of the rules modified by knowledge of individual component needs. Sounds like a bunch of nonsense, because it is. The destruction of the documents left the Senate committee very little to go off of in determining the extent of the activities of this program. And as we'll find out in parts two and three, they would then pull in a lot of these figures involved with it, like Sidney Gottlieb, and they would adhere to the Illuminati vow of silence. So we really don't know what was going on. They could tell that then director of CIA, Alan Dulles, had authorized the program through a higher level of abstraction, because what he did was authorize MKUltra, and then the smaller sub projects, like how they were dosing people with LSD, those were out of his purveyance, right? Like, he wouldn't know that they were going on. He just was like, look, do your thing. Don't tell me what's going on, because then it's illegal, kind of, right? Allegedly, whatever. And it started with the fear. Of course, it's the fear, and that's the top. That's the thing we'll come back to over and over and over again, is man's susceptibility to fear. And how we can be manipulated with that fear. And for MKUltra, it was the fear of China and the Soviet Union, because they were supposedly researching brainwashing techniques. And there was a rumor that the Soviets had already bought up the world supply of LSD, and this was part of the Cold War fear era. And when MKUltra started out in the 1950s, it was based off of previous similar mind control projects, Project Bluebird and Project Artichoke, that eventually turned into full-blown MKUltra. And we'll talk about those names, why Gottlieb chose those names. It's probably not what you've heard online from other people. I've got the books. I will tell you what they mean. That's what I call a teaser. You got to stay subscribed. So some of the controversial aspects of MKUltra include the use of chemical and biological agents in order to research human behavior and also determine if behavior could be controlled. And we're going to find out about how the Japanese were doing this in Camp 731 during World War II. And I'm going to tell you some things that are going to disturb you. I'm going to tell you some things that they were doing with biochemical weapons to American POWs, to Chinese POWs, Soviets, and that's the kind of stuff that, if it is true, could be used to defend such a program as MKUltra. Believe it or not, to play devil's advocate, we're going to look at, were we justified in doing this stuff? Now, the drugs used were initially with willing participants, but later administered to unknowing and non-volunteering subjects, which is where we get into the destruction of free will. Now, all the stuff I'm telling you now is a groundwork for other, because we're going to kind of do a weird folding over of information, because you're going to hear all this information again by the time we're done, right? My goal is to have you an expert in MKUltra. You're going to hear this stuff 2-3 times, because we're going to kind of like, I'm going to give you the basics. We're going to get a little weird. And then in part 2, we're going to go through the basics again from a point of view of William Buckley. Then in part 3, we're going to go through the basics again through the viewpoint of Sidney Gottlieb. Then in part 4, we're going to get real jiggy with it. We're going to go Crazyville, Project Monarch, Kathy O'Brien, Charles Manson. So you don't need to like worry about all the details right now. I'm giving you the basics. We're going to come back through, okay? Now, the idea was to see if the enemy could brainwash our people as was suggested, right? Or if a truth serum could be used clandestinely against the enemy, you know, vice versa, for interrogations. Now, this three-phase umbrella operation would start with seeking appropriate materials needed for the experiments, then doing lab testing on the willing volunteers, and then finally confirming those findings through what they call normal life settings, which is the unknowing victims, right? And MKUltra, they would funnel money to do research projects through universities, hospitals, prisons, private research groups to find and administer various drugs. And a lot of these organizations could then claim ignorance to it because they didn't know it was the CIA. They didn't know what was going on with this. They were just paid to do a study, and they're like, all right, bet, we'll do it. This includes an addiction rehabilitation prison in Lexington, Kentucky, where the test subjects were volunteer prisoners who, after taking a brief physical examination and signing a general consent form, were administered hallucinogenic drugs. As a reward for participation in the program, the addicts were provided with the drug of their addiction. Doesn't sound like they're doing a lot of rehabilitation. All right. Now, the document claims that the program was run so covertly that the universities, the citizens, they were not aware of any participation in this MKUltra program. And without acknowledgement by these running these tests, there's no way to determine which universities and citizens played a part unless they came forth and said, hey, I was being dosed with LSD. What the hell? You know? And this is a strategy, right? This is a strategy that a formula we see by the Illuminati, right? David Icke talks about this all the time. He uses an example of the pyramid where at the bottom of the pyramid, you got the bank tellers just working their 9 to 5, trying to pay the grocery bill, right? Trying to make a little extra money on the side. And they don't really know what what happens when that check that gets cashed in by the customer. They don't know what happens. They just turn it in, whatever. Then you've got the superior bank teller who, you know, they don't really know what their boss does. They're just like, oh, okay, here's a check. We're going to cash it, put it in the account. And it goes so on and so forth, all the way to the top. It's a system of compartmentalization that keeps everybody staying in their own lane, worried about their own little sector. Meanwhile, those at the top, the Illuminati, know the big picture, and they keep everything moving in their direction, right? You get enough degrees of separation, you can get away with anything you want. Admiral Stansfield Turner, who was the director of the CIA, provided a statement on the history of MKUltra explaining that they had discovered 7 boxes of documents that had detailed the program. Now, I had read in a different source since I wrote Sacrifice and Magic Behind the Mic that it was actually 130 boxes, okay? He claimed it ran from 1953 to 1964 and had several sub-programs, at least 149. All used to research human behavior, modification, hypnosis, magician's art, ESP, electroshock, harassment techniques, sabotage, including MK Naomi about sabotaging crops and animals out of Fort Detrick, Maryland, and of course, drugs. Now, when describing a tactic of police in India in the document about interrogation drugs, it said this. It says, it is far pleasanter to sit comfortably in the shade rubbing red pepper in a poor devil's eyes than to go about it in the sun hunting up evidence. That's Sir James Stevens from 1883. So, MKUltra Subproject 3 involved the administration of LSD to subjects, including one Dr. Frank Olson, who was in the CIA and committed suicide while under the influence of these drugs. This story is going to be all over the place. We're gonna unpack it later. Now, he was a civilian employee of the Army who died after participating in an LSD experiment. He was given 70 micrograms of LSD, and he suffered from paranoia and schizophrenia. So he was being treated in New York City and escorted by CIA agents when he fell or jumped from a 10th-story window in the Statler Hotel. And we're going to talk more about him, right? Because guess what? It wasn't suicide. It wasn't an accident. It's murder. So we're also going to tie into MKUltra with magical concepts, which was the whole point of Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic and why I'm talking about MKUltra, because when you get into the history, the world of hip hop, you see alter egos like we're going to talk about here in a second. But what we're looking at with mind control and MKUltra is the idea that you can manipulate a whole society. And the document that in question about the MKUltra research was talking about sub-projects to apply covert communication, perhaps through symbolism, in order to influence others. And that's the point I'm always coming back to with pop culture research. Symbolism, mind control to influence us as the masses. Now, the project that investigated the magician's art was seeking ways of administering materials to someone without them knowing, right? Like a sleight of hand, a deceptive practice, distract someone while you put something in their drink. And it was also looking for a way to covertly communicate without others knowing what information was being passed. Again, the idea of symbolism. Why do they show this? Because on one level it means something to us, on another it means something to them. Senator Huddleston asked Admiral Turner if there were any projects with a motive of debilitating someone to the point that they could kill another person. This is what Admiral Turner replied with. He said, yes, I think there is. I have not seen in this series of documentation evidence of desire to kill, but I think the project turned its character from a defensive to an offensive one as it went along, and there certainly was an intention here to develop drugs that could be of use. So that supports David McGowan's theories, right? Program to kill. And one of the and all these sort of newsworthy events of certain people getting taken out and so on. Now, one of the controversial theories of mind control is the alleged Project Monarch program that Kathy O'Brien campaigns against. She alleges, as we'll discuss in part four, when we go through her whole book, that she was a victim of this MKUltra sub-program. She says that she was exposed to these dissociative identity disorder processes, and she can even recall them through hypnosis because she had this guy who helped deprogram her. I've got opinions on it. But she was further to claim that she was passed around as a SEX slave through various Illuminati groups and high-ranking individuals. Sorry, I know you're like, Isaac, you can say that word. I know I can, but I'm traumatized. YouTube traumatized me by torturing me so many times, so I'm going to be real careful with what I say, okay? She says she was passed around through all these high-ranking individuals, presidents, country western musicians, and so on. Now, oddly enough, Nicole Kidman, who was married to Scientologist Tom Cruise, second greatest actor of all time, and was in Eyes Wide Shut, obviously, a movie I've done 6-7 episodes on. She would go on to marry a country western singer herself, Keith Urban, in 2006, who was on the cover of GQ magazine, covering up, you know, doing the old one-eye thing, a hand placed inside his jacket. These are Illuminati symbols, right? The all-seeing eye, the Freemasonic hidden hand. Now, Nicole Kidman, a fascinating character, right? She was in a film, Stepford Wives, a story written by Ira Levin, who wrote Rosemary's Baby, about elites doing satanic rituals, by the way. But Stepford Wives portrays a group of mind-controlled, programmed women. And in real life, Nicole Kidman said she's deathly afraid of butterflies. Now, why would that be? Who is deathly afraid of butterflies? They're probably the most beautiful insect there is. Well, it's a symbol referenced in Project Monarch, right? Obviously referencing the monarch butterfly, and it's, you know, and something curious that we'll talk about in part four is she claims that she, Kathy O'Brien, was only allowed to view certain entertainment, like Alice in Wonderland or Wizard of Oz. I've done multiple shows on these topics because these were stories about dissociating, a child dissociating. And did you know that L. Frank Baum's first children's book was actually called The Surprising Adventures of the Magical Monarch of Mo and His People, which would later be renamed A New Wonderland and reissued after Wizard of Oz blew up, right? And as I talked about in Wizard of Oz, I think part one, I did a five-part series on Wizard of Oz a few years ago. He wrote like 20 books on Wizard of Oz, and A New Wonderland was actually the first one, okay? And of course, you got the tie-in with the term monarch and the Wizard of Oz, and going over the rainbow is a term we'll unpack later. And I should also note that her father is alleged to be involved with various groups of shadiness. Big allegation. Anthony Kidman, he was a psychologist and academic in Australia, so it is possible he could have been in contact with MKUltra. Contacts, right? He had moved to D.C. in the 1960s to work at the National Institute of Mental Health and the St. Elizabeth Psychiatric Hospital, then moved back to Australia in the 70s. So, I mean, it's very possible. He died in 2014 from a heart attack. And there's all these conspiracies coming out about how he was in the satanic death cult by Fiona Barnett, a woman who made claims that she had been a victim of these similar satanic, PDF file groups. And the claim is that he was involved with a satanic cult called the Ninth Circle. Lots of debate on whether that group really exists. When you look into it, it sounds a lot like the Order of Nine Angles, which is a real satanic group that exists. The Ninth Circle, of course, referring to Dante's Inferno, right? The deepest level of hell. And we talked about this stuff with the house that Jack built, which I think connects into all this. This is also about MKUltra serial killer type stuff. Tied into satanic cults. Did a two-part on House of Jack built, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But Fiona Barnett claimed that Anthony died after she came forth with complaints about him being part of this Ninth Circle, and supposedly this group was doing torture, murder, and SA of kids like her. And allegedly he was being investigated for this when he died, right? And she thinks he was murdered because he failed to successfully wipe her memories. I mean, and this gets into strange territories with these recovered memories, which are very controversial. I won't talk about it, but anyways, like, there's this idea that you can recover repressed memories, and some people say that it's not possible and so on. Anyway, she took this to an Australian Royal Commission and International Common Law Court of Justice in Brussels, which I've seen. There's a show, I think it's called Time Suck. I watched this guy talk about this, and he claimed that this is completely fabricated. Like, this doesn't even exist. So I don't know. I mean, I used to think I've gone back and forth in the world of conspiracy with believing people and thinking they're crazy and so on. So you're going to have to be the judge of that. But she claimed this Ninth Circle exists, and they do satanic stuff. They do trauma abuse, and they do human hunting. And Fiona said that she got pulled into this child abuse ring because Australia had brought a bunch of Nazi scientists over, right? Now, all of these things have some basis in documented history. So I don't want to dismiss them, but I also don't want to fully believe them, if that makes sense, right? The jury's out for me. Possible, not guaranteed. Because, you know, there are crazy people out there. I'm sorry, there just is. But it's a whole thing, right? They claim the Jesuits and the Pope run this cult, and they drink baby, you know, the red stuff. So now we know that Nicole Kidman, who was in Stepford Wives and Eyes Wide Shut, which, again, clearly Kubrick knew about the elites and their weird rituals of harnessing energy from the young ones, Shunamitism, Epstein-like operations. It does seem odd. It does seem odd, and dare I say plausible. And that's why we're talking about MKUltra, because it's not a cut and dry. Here's the proof, and here's, you know, it's a lot of speculation involved, mixed in with a lot of truth, mixed in with the fact that they destroyed all the documents, so we don't know what's real, okay? Gwen Stefani also married into country and became this fervent, you know, Christian, which is also quite odd. I mean, there is something weird about the country western switchover programming, okay? But that's the breakdown of the basics of MKUltra from my book Sacrifice Magic Behind Mike. Get it now, Amazon, Audible, signed copies on my new web store, occultsymbolism.com, where you can get the best mushroom infused coffee on the planet. I can't help it, the grift is strong in me. You know, it's either that, these are your options. I can either grift on selling you my products that I put my heart and soul in, or I could, you know, I could sell you boner pills. I could sell you food services. I could sell you all kinds of things, but I choose to sell the things that I put my stamp of approval on. Pop culture. Let's talk about it. Because pop culture is in love with mind control. My goodness. First, we had the Manchurian Candidate, a film from 1962, then Denzel did it in 2004. Now, this was all about mind controlling an alter of an assassin killer, such that they don't know that they're about to kill somebody or that they've already killed somebody. And as we'll learn in part three, when we read Poisoner in Chief, the dumb CIA started believing their own misinformation and thought mind control is possible after they'd already put misinformation out there about it. Like, crazy. It's the craziest thing ever. Or was it? Like we talked about in the 1947 series with Joel Thomas, a lot of this stems from the propaganda of the Cold War, right? That's where a lot of this stuff happened. It's where the mass mind control projects began. Then in 1971, you had A Clockwork Orange with the legendary Stanley Kubrick, always showing us what's real. He knew. This was years before MKUltra was known to the public. And he showed us MKUltra, basically the Ludovico technique to rehabilitate a criminal through the suppression of the free will. I wrote a book about that one too, called Kubrick's Code, if you're interested. Then One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest from 1975. This is a film that stars Jack Nicholson, who has quite a history when we get into Polanski, right? Oh, wow. They're best friends. A lot of weird activity here. But the movie itself is based on a book written by Ken Kesey, who was literally a subject of MKUltra mind control experiments, right? We'll talk about it later. But the movie is about a psychiatric ward hospital, which is where a lot of these experiments took place. 1980, we got The Shining. Wrote a book about Kubrick called Kubrick's Code. Check it out. But I also released a 3-part deep dive into The Shining just a couple months ago. You can catch all the full 4-hour video version on my YouTube at Occult Symbolism. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes. But Project Monarch is featured on the poster, and Danny has an altar. This is mind control. Again, Kubrick knew. 1988, film called They Live. Classic example of mind control. It's probably the most realistic one in terms of the capitalist system that we live in America, in terms of Edward Bernays' propaganda. You know, I did a show about They Live as well. In fact, I did a show about it, and then I did Tinfoil Hat, one of my many appearances on the great Tinfoil Hat podcast. 1990, Jacob's Ladder. It's about military testing these fractured, how to fracture a soldier's mind. Again, real things. 1997, conspiracy theory movie starring Mel Gibson, where he's a character who was this a victim of MKUltra. I haven't seen this one. I know. A major faux pas for a conspiracy theorist to not watch a movie called Conspiracy Theory. 1999, Fight Club. I did 2 episodes on this last year. The Fractured Mind of Tyler Durden and the Alter Egos. 1999, Eyes Wide Shut. Do I need to say any more, right? I wrote a book about this called Kubrick's Code, and I did like 7 episodes on this. I did a lecture in Vegas. Shout out to everyone who went to the lecture in Vegas. I told you guys like that was a one and done, and it's true, one and done. So the next time I do a lecture, make sure you get there. Make sure you get the tickets. I'm hoping to do one in 26. One or two, we'll see. But this was Kubrick's last movie. He revealed the aspects of elite control systems doing mind games and domination of the people. You see the mask in the movie, and the mask is the symbol for the suppression of the ego and the creation of an altar. 2001, a movie called Zoolander. It's about a model that has a trigger song, Relax, by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, to kill the Prime Minister of Malaysia. And he was programmed by Mugatu. And it's interesting that this would have the fashion industry involved, which we know that the fashion industry is, you know, it's up there with movies and music. It's highly controlled, highly abused networks of stuff. Why do you think Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump and all these guys are really into the modeling agencies? 2007, there was a video game called Bioshock. It's one of the few games I've played since 2000, and I absolutely love it. First-person shooter. There's a phrase they use, would you kindly, that's the trigger phrase, that the main villain programs into the mind of the main character. Again, it's about the suppression of the free will. It's about the full domination of the human mind. It's about magic. It's a magician, and the magician's will to be expressed through another person. 2016, we started a great show on Netflix called Stranger Things. And, you know, of course this would be here. Of course. It's one of my favorite series of all time. But, of course, this propaganda. Netflix was founded by Edward Bernays' nephew, Mark Bernays Randolph. Also, if you don't know who Bernays is, I did a 3-part on Edward Bernays back in, like, 2018, 2017, something like that. You can catch up on that. Whole show is based off of Project Montauk and the ideas of experimenting with mind control, fracturing altars, creating assassins. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to put some of the links in the show notes in the description below for these shows I keep referencing. But there's too many links, so I'm going to put a few. If you want the rest of them, there's an index I have. If you go to allmylinks.com/IsaacW, find an index of every episode I've ever done. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I think we're probably close to 800 by now. 2020, there was a movie called The Hunt. Did a show about that too. And we'll talk about human hunting when we get into Kathy O'Brien's book a little bit more. Because it keeps coming up, right? And we confirmed, I didn't even think about this. We confirmed there was human hunting with recent news about, was it Sarajevo? Where they talked about these rich folks that came in to hunt down human beings. So again, we're going through some revelation of the method stuff. I got a bunch of honorable mentions here. Black Mirror, The X-Files, Westworld, Squid Games. These all have elements of these kinds of conspiracies of murder, human hunting, free will, suppression, and so on. Born Identity, Men in Black had the memory erasing. So did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, one of my favorite movies. Inception with the world's greatest actor about planting memories. A movie called Paycheck about wiping memories. American Ultra is about MK Ultra. I haven't seen that either. Severance is in the same camp too, right? And you've got all these notable celebrities involved with alleged claims of MK Ultra abuse. And you'll see sometimes these artists employ the symbolism of the butterfly, which a lot of us point to and say that's evidence of Project Monarch, right? You also see some of these celebrities employing alter egos, as well as having some reckless behavior, like the breakdown from the trauma and the abuse that they endure. People like Katy Perry, you know, she shaved her head and had a sort of a breakdown. Lady Gaga, she had an alter takeover of Lena Morgana and also a sort of medical issue breakdown. Beyonce had Sasha Fierce, who she said comes into her body and takes over. Also had strange behavior, like at the NBA game where she's doing this number with her handler, Jay-Z, who, by the way, skirted the entire Diddy thing. That was interesting how that worked. Britney Spears, I don't know if I need to explain this one. She shaved her head at the Kabbalah salon called Esther. Nicki Minaj has many alter egos, including one called Roman Zelansky. She publicly exercised the alter ego at the Grammys, I think it was. Kanye West, again, wild behavior. Also claimed he was drugged with lithium. Another honorable mention would be Disney and Nickelodeon child stars. They seem to go through it, right? And they always have these weird breakdowns as adults, and everyone's like, why does this happen? Well, we watched the Quiet on Set documentary, and now you know, right? People like Amanda Bynes, Lindsay Lohan, Miley Cyrus, little Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, etc., right? And then we got the victims, right? And we're going to say allegedly, because some of these are disputed by the CIA, and the CIA covered up the whole program. And like I said earlier, we only know what we know based on people that came forward to say, hey, I was there during this same time frame, and I was subjected to this stuff. And the CIA is like, hey, that wasn't us. So it's one of those deals. I'm going to put allegedly in front of these. But we all know it's not allegedly. It's allegedly. I'm just kidding. It's all allegedly. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, probably the most famous. He was at Harvard where they were doing the CIA experiments. Whitey Bulger, the Boston mob boss. Ken Kesey, obviously part of the beat and hippie movement. Same with Allen Ginsberg. Robert Hunter, the lyricist for Grateful Dead. Jack Ruby, the guy who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, alleged to have been dosed while in jail by his psychiatrist. Sirhan Sirhan, he's the guy who assassinated RFK in 1968. He's believed to be highly hypnotizable, and he claims that, hey, I don't even remember doing the shooting. I dissociated. Candy Jones, she was a model and a paranormal talk show host back in the 70s. She claims she was a subject as well. And if you look at her wiki, she says that she was physically assaulted and essayed as a child by her family. And she found all this out after her husband hypnotized her and found an alter named Arlene who was programmed by the CIA. Sounds a lot like Kathy O'Brien's story. And Project Monarch, which has to do with genetic bloodlines and abuse through that. Then you got Chuck Barris, host of The Gong Show, claimed in his memoir he also was a CIA assassin. And then you got our favorite, Charles Manson. And we're going to talk a little bit about chaos in part four. Then you got Tim Leary. Him and Ram Dass were doing psychedelic experiments with psilocybin and LSD supplied through the CIA. Leary was definitely watched by the CIA. He would, him and John Lennon and all these guys would actually come out and be like, hey, the CIA actually is what helped free a lot of minds with LSD. Now, like I said, there's many other sources you can consult that I will not be discussing in my series. There's a book called Operation Mind Control by W.H. Bogart, 1978. This is a book referenced by James Shelby Downard. There's a book from 1994 called Thanks for the Memories by Bryce Taylor. Fritz Springmeier has a book, How the Illuminati Created an Undetectable Total Mind Control Slave, from 96. But I covered what I thought was to be a fair, balanced look at rational versus conspiracy content. And with that, we're going to go into a bit of both, a bit of rational conspiracy content, if you will. David McGowan, a well-respected researcher who died not too long ago, sadly. He wrote the Laurel Canyon book, but he also wrote this book called Programmed to Kill. All right. Now, this book is mostly about serial killers and their connections into all the familiar, you know, conspiracy stuff. And the claim, I guess, in general, is that the idea of a serial killer is disinformation. And this comes to us through the way of intelligence agency programming, Satanism, PDF files, and of course, MKUltra assassinations. So I'm going to go, the briefest look through this, because it actually doesn't have a ton on MKUltra, but I pulled out the areas where it does sort of coincide. In the introduction, McGowan mentions how mind control was actually a concept revealed by George Estabrooks, who was a prominent hypnotist and psychologist who was actually on contract with American intelligence agencies. And his book, Hypnotism, is where all this came from. A lot of this comes from. I've got other sources of inspiration for mind control that we're getting into when we get into part three. But Estabrooks' book, Hypnotism, was published in 1943, and he explains how some people are more susceptible to hypnosis and mind control than others. And what we're talking about is entering dissociative states, right? Dissociative identity disorder, multiple personality disorder, whatever you want to call it. He says everyone is susceptible to entering in DID states. An example given is like when you drive around and you lose track of time, you're like, whoa, what was I doing? That's the example. And something I found interesting, Estabrooks' Wikipedia shows that he was a Rhodes Scholar. And Cecil Rhodes ties us into massive global conspiracies when we get into Tragedy and Hope, which is something I plan to tackle this year. And he became a 32nd degree Knight Templar Mason. Isn't that interesting? He says the most common way people end up with multiple personalities is from traumatic abuse from a family member when they are children. Or if perhaps a parent dies when a child is young, which made me think of all those Disney movies, made me think of all the claims put forth by, you know, Fiona Barnett and Kathy O'Brien and so on, about even Candy Jones, you know. So Estabrooks was the one who believed that once a split personality is created, it is possible to control these alters without conscious awareness. And he pitched this idea to intelligence agencies in order to create the perfect super spy. And the idea was to create this alter through severe psychic torture. All right. He also nefariously said that children were notoriously easy to hypnotize, which makes me think of the Utah pipeline of LDS kids getting groomed from secret rituals to BYU over to intelligence agencies. Because that is a thing, right? Again, tied into Freemasonry and the occult. I saw a FOIA request of Estabrooks, looking around online and all this, speaking back and forth directly with J. Edgar Hoover in the 1930s. So this wasn't just some guy. This was a guy plugged in. He was besties with J. Edgar Hoover and so on, right? Now, another source McGowan cites is Paul Verdier's Brainwashing and the Cults, an expose on capturing the human mind. And this guy was saying that to create alters, you have to expose victims to fear, shock, and anxiety. So, again, more trauma-induced alter creation. And an interesting statement made by McGowan that we won't rabbit hole down into. He says this. He says, the vulnerability of children to dissociative states brought on by traumatic abuse is one of the reasons the CIA and other intelligence agencies have played key roles in the creation of relatively mainstream satanic groups, as well as in denying the existence of underground satanic cults engaged in violent criminal enterprises. Some of the available evidence suggests that an array of satanic groups may have served as intelligence agency fronts for mind control operations, which actually makes perfect sense considering that if the goal is to severely traumatize children, then surely nothing compares to the seemingly outlandish stories told by those who have survived what has been dubbed satanic ritual abuse. Now, recall I did an episode in my Dark Enlightenment series on the Order of Nine Angles, and you'll notice that a lot of these cases of 764-09A, the mainstream media doesn't really cover them, which adds to this whole lore about this. And satanic traumatic abuse and rituals would be very traumatic. And the question is, do they really believe it, or are they just putting on a theatrics to scare people? It sounds like both exist, right? And this is part of the satanic panic of the 80s, where they try to tell us, like, oh, it's just panic and you Christians are being weird. And it's like, or like this exists, you know what I mean? And McGowan goes through several cases that sound notoriously similar to Epstein, which makes me think if he wrote this book today, maybe what they were doing with all those underage girls was creating honeypots. Maybe that was Epstein's whole thing, was to be a honeypot operation to program these young girls to do these things and then have get the blackmail on politicians and so on. And then you sprinkle in some Satanism and child stuff and video blackmail, and it kind of all fits, right? And he talks about Michael Aquino with the whole story at the Presidio, which I go into detail in. I have a book called The Star Wars Conspiracy, Amazon, Audible, occultsymbolism.com for signed copies. I know, you're like, Star Wars? Well, you know, it ties into the Presidio and George Lucas's studios. But the Dark Brothers, who were doing all this adult film stuff, were involved with this. Like, particularly, remember Tracy Lords? She apparently had done some underage videos before with Gregory Dark. When I say the Dark Brothers, that's the real name is Gregory Dark. Gregory Dark filmed a lot of these adult videos, and then he later went on to become doing MTV music videos. In McGowan's book, Chapter 8, he talks about a Navy psychologist, Lieutenant Commander Thomas Narute, who claimed that the Office of Naval Intelligence was taking convicted murderers from military prisons and then mind-controlling them to become assassins. Dr. Narute said that the Navy was programming large numbers of assassins for commando operations. This is around 1979. And it's believed that MKUltra did similar with civilian populations like Whitey Bulger, who, from what I understand, murked a lot of people. Wasn't that him? I think it was. Strangely enough, a character in The Departed with the world's greatest actor and Jack Nicholson, yet again. And he talks about the CIA Phoenix program to terrorize the North Vietnamese. And that one's crazy. This one's documented, the Phoenix program. They would torture the suspected communists. They would insert eels into them, if you know what I'm saying. They would murder them. They would do electric shock to their privates. They would insert dowel rods into one of the victim's ears and tap it in until it went into their brain. And McGowan says that the Phoenix teams of Navy SEALs had learned torture from some of the Vietnamese, and that's why they were doing this, included eating your victim's organs. And this was all just to get in people's heads and terrorize them, which is why the satanic stuff exists, right? Chapter 10, he starts with a quote from Henry Lee Lucas about the shadow, which the shadow is possibly another reference to the altar. Again, another rabbit hole. I should do a whole show about the shadows, because I found it interesting that this Jesse Michaels guy, who's blown up, been on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's been on his show, the show called American Alchemy, that's huge, right? And I have no problem with him. I've listened to his interview. I think he seems like a good enough dude. Except he works for Peter Thiel. Except his dad wrote a whole book about how to employ your shadow in order to manifest it, which I thought was very odd. Henry Lee Lucas said, it's more of a shadow than anything else. You know, it's a human being, but yet you can't accept it. The killing itself, it's like, say you're walking down the road. Half of me will go this way and the other half goes that way. The right-hand side didn't know what the left-hand side was going to do. And that was Lucas's quote in McGowan's book describing how he perceived his victims before killing them. So McGowan references Ramirez and Henry Lee Lucas murders using weapons of opportunity, which is a technique lifted from the CIA assassination manual, which we'll talk about in the next part two. Implying that Ramirez and Lucas may have learned how to murder through and what they're talking about is weapons of opportunity is like you break into someone's house, they've got a lamp, and that's boom, that's what you're going to kill them with. Which guess who else did all that? Charles Manson, right? In his conclusions chapter, to wrap things up here, he cites the purpose of all those mass. I don't even want to do it. You know what I'm saying? The mass S-H-O-O-T-I-N-G-S and fears of serial killers as a conspiracy to implement law and order, which is always my vibe. That's always my concern. And he references the lessons learned of the Phoenix program, which they supposedly in the inner chambers of the intelligence and the government is psychological operations on the masses. Right, they need to terrify us in order for us to give up our constitutional rights. My Red Pill Daddy Bill Cooper talked about this. David McGowan talked about this. All the greats have. If you're not talking about this, you know, you should be. They had to make the torture heinous enough to get people to accept their own oppression. You have to break the public mentally in order for them to embrace law and order and, you know, the National Guard being in the streets of your hometown. Noam Chomsky, who was on the Epstein files, by the way, wrote a piece called What Uncle Sam Really Wants, where he talked about the U.S. training of Salvadorian death squads, which got the blueprint from the Phoenix program of Vietnam, which got its blueprint from the Nazi Einsatzgruppen death squads. I probably butchered that. Einsatzgruppen. Death squads of World War II. And he relays a story about how a peasant woman comes home to find this horrific scene. She comes home and her three kids, her children, her mother, and her sister were all placed around a dinner table with their own heads decapitated and put on the table and their own hands placed such that they were stroking their own hair. Could you imagine the mental break you would have if you witnessed this, right? He goes on to further say that this included an 18-month-old that they couldn't get the head to sit in place, so they nailed the hands to it. I mean, that's pretty horrific, right? But that's like kind of what this Phoenix program and the Einsatzgruppen and so on was up to, is to terrorize the local population into giving up their rights. Because you would see that one time and be like, look, I don't even want freedom of speech. I can't have that happen to my family, right? It's a way for the oppressors to terrorize into doing what they want. And May Brussels said this in 1974, that the U.S. is now going through extreme violence so that the only solution to chaos is a police state. So in conclusion for part one, stay subscribed for part two. We're already off to a crazy start, but there's a lot more, okay? In part two, we're going to cover the book Secrets and Lies by Gordon Thomas. This book's kind of hard to find. Not impossible, but they don't have, like, new copies circulating around. You got to buy one off of eBay or something. And the MKUltra program through the eyes of CIA agent William Buckley. And this is where we're going to get into the black magic efforts of Operation Often. And a lot of the key players involved, William Sargent, Ewan McCameron, Frank Olson, Alan Dulles, and so on. And we talk about that assassination manual. Again, this series is important, and you need to listen to the whole thing because this explains how trauma induced on the public and the population for the ends of the one world order, the totalitarian technocracy, this is how they're going to do it. This is how they're going to do it. I know this is a tough segue over, but as I always say, Till next time, stay positive.